I get those goosebumps every time you come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything so fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. When you're not around me, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. 713, put a 21 down, riding. Why they on me? Why they on me? I'm flying, sipping low key. I'm sipping low key and flying. I get those goosebumps every time.
It's not Johnny's foot tapping, it's Daz's finger. Yes.
All headbanging the whole lot. Yeah. All in. Positivity's back, Pete. Forget about the last few days.
There we go. Let's talk some positivity tonight on Talking Toon. We're back. Welcome to Lady Mag NUFC. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and we're going to get into it all tonight. We've got the guest ready to come on. Us boys are ready. But first of all, how are we? Daz?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to Josh telling us all about Only Fools and Horses. Just what we were talking about, actually, before we started the show. But no, all good at me. All good. Looking forward to chatting to the boys. And looking forward, not backwards, forward of what's to come.
Definitely. Chris? How are you, fella?
I'm good, mate. I enjoyed second day off. Well, I'm off all this week, but yeah. When I say second day off, it's my second day at Cheltenham. Another good day. So yeah, really in good spirits recently, because it's just nice being off work and just relaxing. Even though it's not been that relaxing, because I've been running around like a madman, basically. But on a plus, I'm fine, mate, and I'm looking forward to hearing the lads' perspective tonight on where we are, because I know that we spoke about it, didn't we, in the reaction show. And you know, I'd say we're kind of mixed feelings, so it'd be interesting to see where the lads feel we are, because I think we need to, as Daz said, breathe a little bit of perspective and start looking forward. But yeah, really looking forward to having the lads on tonight. Pete, how are you, mate?
Definitely. And yeah, welcome to everyone in the chat. Make sure you get your opinions in. You're part of this discussion too tonight. So as we get those questions in, people, make sure that you're getting your opinions in, and we'll be putting them up on the screen, and get your questions in as well, because we'll find that section later on in the show where you can ask the panel anything Newcastle United related. But look, let's get into it, boys. Let's get the boys in. Let's welcome in Josh first, the old Only Fools and Horses guy.
How are you doing, Josh? Lads? How are you, lads?
Good to see you, Josh. Good to see you too.
I don't know much about Only Fools and Horses, man, but I know a bit about Newcastle United. I'm looking forward to be talking about that yet again on the Loaded Mag. Come on, boys.
Quality stuff, mate. And let's bring in Specs.
Welcome back, Specs.
Good man.
Yes, lads. Yes to everyone in the chat. Appreciate you calling me back once again on the Loaded Mag. Yeah, man. Ready to go.
Good man, definitely. We'll be certainly asking you some questions and getting into it. And finally, he's back for more. He's a he just loves to. It's almost like he wants to be part of the team. He just can't get away from Loaded Mag at the moment. But let's get Johnny in.
Yes, Johnny. When he's trying to tap up Josh as well, but Johnny, just say it. We find space for you in the team. No, hasn't.
Good
welcome
evening,
to Loaded.
Good evening, fellas. Do you know what it is? You know, the sad thing is, I probably wouldn't be able to make your bench by the sound of it. So I think I'll just have to accept defeat. But no, I've seen that you've got Josh on your team now, which is disappointing, because obviously me and Josh had productive talks. He was just about to get his medical sorted. We agreed to it, but he decided at the last minute to go to the dark side and you know, join the rival.
The hard do, bigger wage, bigger club aspirations. That's what I'm all about, mate.
Well, like I say, you could have joined a team of winners. You know, we've got a winning mentality, Josh. You know, you want to be part of a winning side. You know, winning breeds confidence.
Yeah. Agent Johnny in the loaded mark.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of like the Bruno Guimaraes situation. You got Arsenal trying to steal the deal, and Newcastle come in and get the deal done. And we've got him. So, yeah. But hey, Johnny, there's always room. There's room for one more.
I'm NFTV till I die. So that is such a saying, but it's like I say, it's just over 2 weeks away now. So I don't know if you've got the link in the description or whatever, but if anybody's in a position, like I say, we're over a third now, Daz, and we're about 35% of the way in now. So obviously you can see the comments on your screen now. If you're in a position, it's for the Alan Shearer Foundation. You know, you can even do the Shearer celebration as you're doing it. That'd be class. that'd be great. Like I say, we're more than a third of the way there. 29th of March in Forest Hall. More than welcome to come along. 3 o'clock kickoff. It's Good Friday, so it's going to be a good Friday for Newcastle fans TV, and not such a good Friday for Loaded Mag.
Loaded Mag, making Fridays great again.
Oh, Daz, don't. Please don't.
That's our motto. Making Good Fridays great again.
I think we're going to need a referee in this game now, lads.
I have got a referee, believe it or not.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it's called Lee Lawler. It's got no association to either channel, so you'll see it straight down the middle. No, it was too fair. Last year I had no referee, and it was well reffed, if you like. Yeah. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a friendly. It's for a charity and for a great cause. But looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a friendly until we kick off.
It's a friendly until we win, Pete, as you well know.
Oh my God, this is going to be unbearable. 2 weeks away and it's already started.
It's like a Champions League final, isn't it? That's a momentum just building up each week.
It is.
I'm just hoping Daz is keeping a note of all this and just doing little clips. Just keep them ready, Daz. Just keep these clips ready.
If only we recorded this, Chris.
I know.
But look, we're here to talk Newcastle United. We're here to talk football. And look, as I think Chris said just before the boys came on, we had the opportunity to kind of review the game last night. We talked and gave our own opinions, the Loaded Boys. But I want your opinions, boys. And I'll start with you, Specs, on this. I want to get Josh and Johnny's opinion on it. And the question's really, really simple. What the hell happened on Monday night? What the hell happened?
Oh, bro. Where do we start? It was like mixed emotions. Like, it's just playing my emotions, man. Like, to be honest, I don't know what everyone else thinks, but when the game actually started, especially the first 5 or so, 6 minutes, I thought, okay, like, we look pretty okay. Like, there's no real threats from either side, but it wasn't under the cosh or anything. I thought, get me, the lineup, one or two questions about the lineup, as usual every week, but it is what it is. It ain't going to change. So I just felt like it was pretty much okay. And then out of nowhere, I was thinking, like, I was shocked. Like, even the Chelsea fans were shocked with the first goal. Like, I don't know what happened. All I remember, the first thing I thought was, where's the communication between the Dubravka, and I can't remember who it was at the time. Where's the communication? Because I actually thought the Dubravka was coming out to actually collect the ball initially. Then it got cleared, and then it was just poor clearance. And then before you know it, Palmer takes his shot, slight flick off Jackson. And it's in the back, and then it's in the back of the net. Now, at that point, I didn't even panic. Obviously, that gave Chelsea kind of the momentum. But what I was seeing in my watch along, and I kept saying it, we need to get Isak involved more. And the fact that Chelsea defence are not great. They can be had at. So keep doing what you're doing, lads. I thought in the final third, it wasn't great. But I said, keep doing what you're doing. And lo and behold, Isak, beautiful finish, beautiful assist, I think, from Bruno. And I'll be honest, from that moment, I genuinely thought Eddie Howe and the boys are going to have a good team chat. Carrying as you do, boys. Keep getting at them. After that, you saw what happened. It all went tits up. Sorry for my language. And I don't like picking out on plays. I really don't like. But it's getting to the point now. I'm not giving a shit now. To say as it is. I've always supported Longstaff. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's start with him. Don't like pinpointing plays. Let's start with Longstaff. Yeah? Sorry for the language. Longstaff. Jeez, man. Jeez, man. Like, for me, well, first of all, I'm going to blame him fully. I blame who's picking him. Do you get what I'm saying? And who's laying him on the pitch for that long. Longstaff, for me, he's had purple patches where he's been like, he had his moment. He's a local lad, and we're going to support him, innit? But sometimes the realness is the realness, bro. Like, enough is enough. It's almost becoming, it's not long ago when we never had Longstaff in the team. People say we missed him. He's our runner. I call him Longstaff because he's always running about. He covers the pitch. Now, people are saying with Longstaff on the pitch, it's like having 10 men. Call it harsh, but it's kind of got a truth to it. And it's like, okay, Eddie, even for that whole first half, I thought by halftime, Eddie, just take him off. Just take him off. He kept him on. Someone was losing the ball, etc., etc. Especially in possession. That's the worst. You're losing the ball. It's almost like, is he carrying a knock? Like, or is he just not at the level? Is he not at the level of Premier League? It's a serious question to be asked. Dan Burns, when we get into that, I'll let you guys, you can carry on that narrative, the Dan Burns thing. I'm sorry, this can't continue. Dan Burns, I don't blame him personally. Like I said, it's questions to be asked. And now you really, it's starting to get toxic now. I'm starting to see Monster fans where, for me, I'm not swaying Eddie in or Eddie out. Before I used to say, I'm not Eddie out and that's it. Now I'm just saying, I'm not swaying in, I'm not swaying out. But geez, questions need to be answered. And will he be there in the summer? I want him to carry on, give him another chance. But the last thing I'm going to say, if Eddie Howe is to remain at the helm, it's going to be interesting if he changes his ways. He's going to reflect on this season, decision makings, etc., etc. That's what's going to be interesting for me. But that was a big game for us. And I'm pissed because we could beat Chelsea. That was a big game for us. Bigger than people think. And it's not, okay, we lost, but it's the mannerism. And people question, are the players even playing for Eddie? I think the players are playing for Eddie, but I think it's more of a thing of where are they bored of hearing Eddie? I don't know. I'd love to hear you lot's thoughts, but I'm pissed.
No, heated response there, Spectre. I hear it. Josh, were you as pissed off as Specs watching that? Specs has said it was a game, a massive, massive game, bigger than what people realised. I know we said it on Loaded Mag. We felt it was the same. It was a springboard for us. But what were your thoughts in general? And you know, Specs has touched on Longstaff. Was there anyone else that stood out for you that you thought was really off it on Monday night?
Pete, it's probably better off picking players and easier picking players that actually played good in the game rather than played bad. I think genuinely, even Bruno, to Bruno's standards, didn't have a great game. For me personally, I think Tino is the only one from that game that can walk away with his head held high. He was getting kicked lumps out of how Cucurella didn't get booked earlier. I do not know. But Longstaff, yet again, as Specs touched upon him, just I'm watching him. And I look at football like this sometimes when I'm sort of analysing the games after. You've got players like Bruno and Willock. I like to think around them, when you're looking at them from over the top, they've got like a force field around them. If there's a player in sort of Bruno's area, he's getting that ball off them, or he's progressing, or he's doing something productive with it, as Joe Willock does. He's running up the pitch, or he's getting the ball back. But with Longstaff, recently he hasn't been actually benefiting us going forward or defending. He's not been productive whatsoever. But any other players actually touched upon this? I said, Eddie, fans are getting frustrated with when Eddie's picking these sort of favourites. And I said the main two favourites, if we're saying, that come straight to our mind are probably Sean Longstaff and Dan Burn. Well, now with Dan Burn, I can actually cut him some slack. When he puts on the shirt, look, come on, he's 6 foot odd or 7 foot odd nearly. He's really slow. We know he's going to get rinsed by these 20-year-old lightning fast wingers. We know it's going to happen every single time. At least when he plays, he puts his blood, sweat, and tears into the game, and he actually does graft it. It's not his fault he's going to get rinsed by these pacey wingers. But with Longstaff, there's just no ambition or determination. Now, I'm realizing this every single game. He's doing just enough to make it look like he's doing something. He's jogging just enough to the ball to make it look like he's actually grafting a bit. But he's falling out with tackles now. He's becoming too weak. But that result, that game, really did get me annoyed. Chelsea, a team that spent £1 billion at their ground, they were there for the taking. They didn't absolutely obliterate us or anything, lads. They were genuinely there for the taking. They didn't even play good, but honestly, I think we'll just need to move on, because for me, I don't know if it's a case of not playing for Eddie Howe, but there was certainly a case of just no sort of desire to go out and win that game whatsoever. Nah, it really, really got me annoyed, lads. I don't know what else to say, but there was just a very lazy aura around the game. No real desire to get back into it, fight for the fans, fight for the badge, honestly, yet again. And actually, now I'm thinking about it now, there wasn't, as Speck said, a lot of communication in that game. And I think one of the main reasons is because of that is the absence of Kieran Trippier. You haven't got what has been for nearly every single game for the last 2 years now, that vocal sort of presence from Kieran Trippier, which I think we missed a lot on Monday night.
You've made some really good points there. And actually, just that comment there, not sure who's doing the comments, is it? I think, Daz, you might be on it. That comment from Alan Thompson, that was just a couple of seconds ago. It wasn't a question I was going to come to, actually. John, I want to get your thoughts on the game, but I'll ask you this question, because Alan Thompson says, lads, did anyone seriously think we would beat Chelsea? I did. No, I'm not going to lie. I felt that we could go and beat Chelsea. For you, Johnny, were you expecting us to give Chelsea a game and maybe take the 3 points? And is that, in your opinion, why fans maybe are as downbeat and as disappointed with the performance more than anything? What are your thoughts on that?
I think when you look at it, Pete, in particular with Chelsea, it's not been a great season for them anyway. The defence is a bit of a shambles. And Newcastle, yes, they've been very, very much hot and cold, but away from home in this calendar year, we've done all right. You know, we've beaten Villa, which not many teams had done. I think we were the first team to beat Villa, obviously at Villa Park this season. So we beat Sunderland, we beat Fulham, we beat Forest. You know, we've done all right away from home. And Chelsea aren't the Chelsea that we've seen over the last few years. They're certainly not Pochettino seems to be trying to build at this side, but they're staying where they are, 11th on the table. They're 11th for a reason. And I think for me, that was defensively. Defensively, they're very, very poor. Going forwards, Nicholas Jackson has had a very average season, but we made him look like a Premier League striker on Monday night. I thought Botman in particular, was really poor. Really, really, really poor, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. But our record at Stamford Bridge is horrendous. I think we've only won once in the Premier League era, which was in 2012 when Cissé scored both those goals. But on the actual game itself, everyone can blame Longstaff. How Longstaff got 90 minutes on Monday night, I'll never know. I really don't know. Lewis Miley is in better form than Sean Longstaff and deserves to start, but he's obviously keeping him in there for a reason. I think my final point is more with the manager, and he has got credit in the bank, and I don't want him out. I just want questions to be asked of him a little bit on his tactics, because his tactics were really, really... what's the word? No, I'll say that. They were poor. They were really poor on Monday night. The second goal in particular is something that we've seen far too much. A player getting in the pockets, getting in the spaces between our midfield and between our defence, and then causing us damage. And Cole Palmer, who's in great form, buried it. Now, there was a bit of debate with ourselves saying, should Dubravka save because it's not in the corner? I think it's just the pace that beats him more than anything. It's through bodies. I think it's through him before he even notices where the ball's going. But all three goals were really, really poor goals. Let's be honest. And the first goal, what Botman's doing, I'll never know. It's a good flick from Jackson. I'll give him credit. The second goal we've touched on. And the third goal, we could have been 3-1 down before the third one went in. Our defence is all over the place. And that is the question that people will be asking about Eddie Howe's teams. He was asked this at Bournemouth, and now he's getting questions at Newcastle. We had the best defensive record last season, and we seem an absolute mile off it at the back. And we've got Man City on Saturday. God knows how many goals they'll be thinking that they can get, because you just know that they can score 3, 4, 5, 6 goals if we're not careful. So we've got to be steady at the back on Saturday, but Monday night was just not acceptable.
Lads, before I come to the load, lads, because we've already touched on this, so there's something more specific. I'm going to come to you boys in just a second, but you've touched on it. I think a few of you have now touched on it and had the conversation. Botman had a really, really poor game. For you three, what do we think it is? Why is there such a downturn in form for Sven Botman? Because he's had some good games since he's come back. So it's not like he's just been bad all the time. Why do you think his form has dropped, in your opinions, certainly in more recent weeks? But I'm opening up that to anybody, like for you three boys.
Sorry, just quickly. I would even agree that I've not seen the old Botman since he's come back, period. Maybe you might have seen glimpses of, I've not seen the old Botman, do you get what I'm saying? I really believe when he initially had an injury, I'm led to believe that he was playing for way too long with that injury in the first place. That could cause even more serious damage. He should not have been playing for that long. He's come out. Is he really fit enough to be back? Or is it going to be a concurrent thing which I hope he comes back to his best? It's going to take time. You know what I'm saying? Because when he got back from injury, he's coming straight back in and he's, you know how the Premier League is. Like, it's a no-nonsense league. It's an elite league. So I won't put too much criticism on him, but I just think that he ain't fully fit, or maybe it's a psychological thing as well. Because sometimes when you come back from injuries, it's psychological how you move, your balance, like, are you second thinking things? So I just think he's just not fully fit, to be honest. Like, me personally, I don't know what other lads think, but I've not seen the old Botman since he's come back. Me personally.
Absolutely. Josh, do we agree with that, with what Speck said, that you've not seen that old Botman yet since he's come back from his injury? Like, you know, and what do you think it could be?
Do you know what it is, right? I stuck with the sort of theory that it was this injury that's just sort of getting away at him every single week. Because I think when he first come back, which, by the way, I think that was a complete mess by the medical staff. How on earth they didn't pick that up earlier, because it did look like he actually played with it for quite a long time. And then I'm pretty sure he had like 2 set dates for when he was meant to come back, and then it got pushed back again and pushed back again. But honestly, I think his pace has decreased since he's come back. His strength, he looks like, imagine if you were a striker, for example, you're running against Sven Botman in the 2022-23 season. He's an absolute brick wall, Rolls Royce. He's going to get stuck into you. You are scared. But now strikers will probably be looking at Botman like, well, this guy's clumsy, just play it around him and he'll drop it or something. But what I actually don't get, right, it's all good saying, right, look, because I think this has as well. His pace has decreased. His strength's gone a little bit. He's a little bit off balance. All of that can be subject to his injuries. But what I can't blame injuries on is individual errors. Why is he playing the ball places where he shouldn't? He's losing the ball easily. Honestly, I don't know what it is, but we aren't seeing the same Botman that we have seen whatsoever. I remember there was debates not long ago when we apparently sell one of our star players for FFP, and Botman was included the category of Isak and Bruno. Now he looks absolutely miles away from them two. But honestly, I do not know what's went wrong with him. Fingers crossed he can get well soon. And I've seen some people say, is he even going to be, like, for example, against Blackburn, we dropped him for the game completely. He wasn't even in the squad. For me personally, I don't think dropping him for a game, giving him a rest, will do that knee any good. I think he's just going to have complete surgery on it. Dropping him for a week, well, I mean, obviously, hasn't done him any good since.
Yeah. Johnny, you were kind of nodding away when Specs and Josh were talking about Botman. Are you in agreement with them? We just haven't seen that level. And what do you think it could be as to why?
I think the simple answer is he's trying to be too clever. Just simplify your game. That first goal on Monday night, hit the ball at the rosette, hit it out for a corner. Get it. You don't have to. Sometimes you don't always have to be clever. Just do the simple things in football. And that's where you saw last season with Botman, he was doing that. He was doing that. And even towards the beginning of this season, Haaland didn't get much joy out of him at the Etihad at the start of the season. But since he's come back, you can only ask the player himself or the person himself if he thinks that the injury is still causing him an issue. If he doesn't think that it is, then you've got to take his word for it to an extent. But I do agree with Josh. I do think that there is something not quite going. There's something not quite right behind the scenes. And if it's a case that an operation is needed or surgery is needed, you know, let's see what happens on. Saturday. If we somehow miraculously get through on Saturday, I don't think that operation is going to happen. But if it's a case that after Saturday, that we're out of the FA Cup, which is expected, and we've got 10 league games, and I know there's still a little bit riding on the rest of the league season, I'd be saying, do you know what? We've got Jamal Lascelles, we've got Dan Burn, who can play centre-half. We've got Lewis Hall, who's just decided not to like play football again because we don't think he's ready. But we've got to give Lewis Hall a bit of a chance. If you gave Lewis Hall a bit of a run in the team, I'm not saying that he's going to be a world beater. He's going to make mistakes, but give him 10 games. Give him 10 games in a row if he stays fit and just go, look, let's see what you can do over a prolonged period of time. Show what you can do. Show what you're about. Because, you know, at the minute, sometimes you've got to think of the greater good. You'd rather miss the last few games where it may not be the end of the world in terms of Botman. You know, again, the Euros is probably another thing that's just come to my mind. That's probably hanging over the decision. But that decision might have to get taken out of his hands. But he was good against Wolves. He was good against Wolves, but he was all over the place against Chelsea. And if Nicholas Jackson's causing you problems, then you know that something's wrong.
Yeah, he hasn't had a good season. I know he scored a few goals. He had a little purple patch at the beginning, but Jackson hasn't had a great season, not for me. And it screams concern when Chelsea, who can't score a goal for love nor money, are putting three past you and making your centre-backs look really, really poor. However, there was a good performance. Believe me or not, there was a good performance in there. Tino Livramento. For me, outstanding performance at right back. For a guy that's just been thrown back into the team because of injury, just comes and plays with so much ease and quality. And Daz, Chris, I've got a question for you, really. You know, in your opinion, seeing the way that Tino seamlessly comes into the team, whether it's left back, right back, in particular right back, because he played there on Monday night. My question to you boys is, does Trippier or Tino start as your number one next summer or next season, however you want to see that? So Daz, I'll come to you first. Trippier or Tino starting as your number one right back next season? Who are you going for and why?
Well, along with being blessed with the good looks of Josh, because they're identical, is Tino. For me, I absolutely love Tino. I loved him at Southampton as well before the season before he got his injury. I know we remember us talking about him, and I didn't find him as someone that was a kind of standout then. He has to be on the pitch in some capacity, whether it's at right back or left back. For me, he's definitely in on the pitch in the 11. And I would favour him myself. I would favour him over Trips. I know Trips is our leader, and even though it'd be interesting to see who is the actual club captain next season, which will now sticking around as well. And I know everything goes through Trips as well, every corner, free kick, everything. So there's that aspect. So for me, I'd start Tino, but I don't mind if it's on the left or right. And it'd be good to have the option of both. I still think we need another option at left back cover, but I want Tino to start next season.
Chris, who are you going for? Tino or Trippier? It's your first game of the season, whoever it is. Who are you wanting to start in that right back berth?
This is a difficult one because I'm gonna cheat a little bit here, Pete. I'm gonna give you a couple of answers. So I think if Kevin Trippier is still at Newcastle come next season, it will be Kevin Trippier who starts at right back. I agree with Daz in that I kind of feel like Tino is undroppable. Tino Livramento, since he's come to the club, he's never let the club down, and consistently, particularly at the start of the season when he was you know coming in and making a couple of cameo appearances, starting the odd game, he was our best defender. And even now when he's coming in, as you say, Pete, he comes in and he performs outstandingly. So I'd really like to see Tino get a run of games in the team. I'd like to see him solidify right back. I know he can play left back, as you've already mentioned. But I think it's difficult to drop Kevin Trippier. I still, people may or may not like this, but I still believe the club made a bit of a faux pas when Bayern Munich came in January for Kevin Trippier. I know that sounds a bit mad saying it, but, you know, if rumours are believed to be true and, you know, they were offering upwards of 12, 15 million for Kevin Trippier, I think that was a great bit of business for the club. I really, really do. And that's not to say that I don't rate Kevin Trippier or that I wanted to sell him, but you're getting that for a 33-year-old. You know, that's big money. Big, big money. And when you've got a ready-made replacement, it wasn't as if we'd have to panic and go out and look for a replacement. Mm. Our replacement's there, ready. And that money won't come back in now. Having said that, I'm very, very happy that, you know, Kevin Trippier is still here. I wasn't looking for him to leave. It's just sometimes, I mean, we saw it in the past, didn't we, when Bobby Robson sold Gary Speed, and I know that turned out to bite him on the bum, yeah, because we sold him ridiculously low. I think it was $500,000 to Bolton. And it wasn't
like 800,000 or something like, yeah, that. Yeah, it's, yeah, crazy.
Wasn't a good bit of business, that, to be fair. But Gary Speed was a one-off, you know, ultimate professional, kept himself incredibly fit. And I'm not saying Kevin Trippier isn't, but what I mean is, we're talking about a lot of money here. It's a lot of money. And when you've got a ready-made replacement, someone who's, you know, as ready as what Tino Livramento is, I do feel like we should have sold him. But to answer your question, me personally, I would like to see Tino Livramento given the right-back role. Even if you want to play Kevin Trippier, stick him at left-back. Because going forwards, Tino Livramento is the future of this club. And right now, he's stepping in and he's performing. He's doing the business and he's performing very, very well. And I kind of want to integrate him into that right back spot as soon as possible. Yes, he does a job for us at left back, Tino, but he is ultimately a right back. And hopefully, as I say, he's going to be the right back for the next 5, 6, 7 years at least. So I would like to see Tino start right back. But I do believe if Trippier is still at the club next season, that Trippier will start the season at right back.
Just one more point. Sorry, Pete. There's even talk that Tino might be getting in near or close to the England squad as well. So how can you keep Tino on the bench then next season if he's anywhere near the England squad? Maybe that's where we're going next. I don't know, Pete, but
it was doesn't make any sense. Segways. We'll come back to the Tino England discussion in just a second, but you're absolutely right. It's a really good point, Daz. And the boys, obviously, we'll talk about Trippier there, and Chris made the point where he wasn't sure if Trippier would still be at the club. And that was a question I was going to come to you next with, because that question was exactly that. Does Trippier leave the club in the summer? You know, he was on the verge of leaving and going to Bayern Munich. Didn't quite happen. Do you think that's going to come back again, another opportunity to leave in the summer? Or do you think now he's had the opportunity and said no, that he's here to stay? What are your thoughts with that? Josh, I'll come to you first.
I think that's a hard one to answer because obviously Trippier, I don't know what to... I think... Is he going to go in the summer as kind of, what is his role next season going to be with Newcastle United? Is he going to be nailed on right back? Because if he is, he's not going to go if Eddie Howe wants him that much. If he prioritises sort of his leadership in the dressing room, his vocal capability and all that sort of stuff. He is a very, very good player to have for all aspects around the club. But let's be real, he is turning 34 years old. And I know arguably he's in the prime of his career right now, even hence why the likes of Bayern Munich are wanting him at this age as well. But if a club actually wanted him at that age, they were going to give us good money. I think he would probably take it as well, because I was left pretty confused that Kieran Trippier, well, by the reports, obviously, I don't know what his actual decision was like, but by the reports, it seemed as if he was pretty keen on leaving the country after saying he didn't like the sort of foreign life. He wanted to be back in England. So if he's persuaded by it, if it gives us good money for when he's turning 34 years old, I'll take that. I don't think he will, though. I think Eddie Howe will try and get one more season out of him for everything I've just mentioned. Of course, on the pitch, he's fantastic. Defensively, going forwards, absolutely everything. He actually is like the perfect person that Tino can kind of grow off as well. So I think he's beneficial to Newcastle for many, many things. But if the deal's right for us and the move's right for him, I think he could possibly go. Not saying that I want him to, but I think he could.
Specs? You thinking that Trippier's going to leave, or is he still got another year left in him? A little bit like what Josh has just said.
Well, for me personally, I think he's definitely still got another year left in him. Even for his age, he's pretty fit than most of our players. I'm talking about on the pitch, by the way, like in terms of being available. And I feel there's a bigger picture to this, man. It's not just about kind of what Josh was saying. It's not just about what he does on the pitch. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like just surrounding the players. He's almost like a bit of an ambassador for the players as well. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you need sometimes that leadership, that kind of, to just, you know, because even when he's not there, yes, he's made mistakes this season, et cetera, et cetera. But overall, you kind of see when he's not on the pitch, where is the leadership? Do you get what I'm saying? That's been missing in certain moments. Who's going to rally the troops or say, point out to that? You get what I'm saying? So for me, yeah, the money was, it's a tricky one, 15 mil. But then you got to look at the personal side. Like, it never made sense for me in the first place because he clearly, openly on cameras, kept on saying about his family or his wife and et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I was thinking, why all of a sudden they're going to go back? It doesn't make no sense. Make it make sense. So I think he's got another year left in him. And just quickly, I know you wanted to move on from the who should start Tino or Trips, but I had put my 2 pence in there. Me personally, Tino has to start on the right, period. Over Trips all day long. But it'd be interesting to have a look at maybe Trippier on the left-hand side, a bit what he does for England, which is quite reliable on that side. So if you had no choice in terms of, let's say tomorrow, if everyone's fit, who would you put? I'll probably put Trips on the left and put Tino on the right, bombing forward, and Trips obviously being a set-piece taker, etc. This is my opinion.
Fair play. John, I'm going to word it slightly differently for you. Do you think keeping Kieran Trippier next season, so I'm preempting what might happen here, do you think that's going to have a detrimental effect on Tino Livramento's development at Newcastle United going into next season?
No, I don't. I know everyone's mentioned it, whether he's going to go. I don't think he goes unless a ridiculous offer comes in. But that ridiculous offer came in January and that ship sailed. I think Trippier did an article with, was it the Daily Mail maybe? I'm not 100% sure if it was definitely them, but he basically said that it was just not the right time for him to leave the football club. He wanted to stay in England, and going to 3 different countries within the space of 3 or 4 years just wasn't right for them. So I think that's pretty much nailed it. I think if he's going to go, it's going to be England. It's going to be in the club in England, potentially. However, I don't think it'll be it'll be a negative impact, rather. I feel that Livramento, we've got to remember, Kieran Trippier is still a very, very good right-back, by the way. There's a reason why he's getting selected for England. There's a reason why he was the best right-back in the Premier League last season for me. He's had an up-and-down season, let's be honest. He's had some very good performances. He had a very poor 6 weeks or so before Christmas. But we have seen some good performances from him in recent times. I agree with Chris, though. I feel that Trippier on the left, I think even Specs mentioned it, Trips on at left back, and if we don't get a left back in, or we don't trust Lewis Hall, or we decide to, you know, not use Dan Burn as a left back anymore, I do think that is not it's not a problem position when you look at it, but it could be a problem position if we don't resolve it sooner rather than later. So it wouldn't surprise me if Trippier ends up being left back. But we've seen Tino play left back as well. So they're both versatile enough to do that job. But Kieran Trippier is the model professional. He trains well. He's a leader. He's one of the best right backs going. Him being at the club is not having a negative impact on Tino Livramento. If anything, it's a good thing. So It'd be interesting to see what happens, but if both of them are fit, first game of the season, it will be an interesting selection that Eddie Howe will make. But I do agree with, I think it was Josh that said it, I do, or maybe it may have been Chris, I can't remember, that I think Trippier will get the nod if it's Eddie Howe. However, I think it may become almost a no option. You have to start Tino Livramento because he is that good. But what an option to have, boys. What an option to have. Two very, very good fullbacks. Yeah.
It's why I asked the question about it being detrimental to him, is because at some point, the question has to be asked, why is Tino not starting? And, you know, we've asked that question over the course of this season. And, you know, we've had back from journalists and various other people, you know, he's in his way into the team, had a bad injury, just come back from all that sort of stuff. And that's absolutely fine. But he's back playing now. And he's been playing all season. Like, bit part, yes. Off the bench, yes. But you could see, like, on that right-hand side, he was, one, so much more comfortable on that side to be able to run with the ball and run with pace. What you saw against Chelsea is what we saw at Old Trafford, playing on that right-hand side where he can just bomb forward and he just plays with so much pace and power and energy. And they were having to, I think Sterling got a yellow card in the first half because they were having to chop him down. They could not cope with him. And I just think, you know, Trippier playing on that right-hand side and stopping Tino playing on a regular basis could be detrimental to him. At some point, he's going to get frustrated because he's playing good, well enough to start. I just think what you boys have said by moving him potentially onto the left, Trippier, I mean, could actually work. However, I think we're all in agreement here that none of us would be against, and tell me if I'm wrong, none of us would be against going out and getting a left back in the summer. Because it's clear. And if, for me, if you're asking me, do I play Trippier on the left or go out and get a new left back? I'm getting a new left back. You want someone that knows to play that position. And then we come back full circle round to the question again, who do you start first game of the season? Because you're going to probably have both of them. You're absolutely right, Johnny. We're going to have three right backs next season because Kraft has already signed a new deal. So we know he's here. Tino's in the team. And then you've got Trippier if he does stay. So it's going to be an interesting one for sure. Look, we've got 180, 190 in the chat already. Oh, sorry.
Johnny, is another comment there?
I was just going to just say one real quick thing. Sorry to interrupt, Pete. We're talking about needing a new left back. We said that at the end of the last season. And we have three or four left backs in the squad. And we're still in the same position now. You could look at our squad and go, we've got three or four left backs, but what's the number one position we need? We need a left back. We didn't address it probably.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And Hall is there to stay, Eddie Howe has already said. There's talk that a 15th place finish for Newcastle is the only way in which that deal doesn't get done. We're not likely to finish that position at all. So therefore, we're expecting Hall to sign a permanent contract at Newcastle. But Matt Target, do we expect him to be here in the summer?
I personally... 100k a week?
Don't start with that. There's so many questions, and this is the thing. This is why it's an interesting topic. I know that we're talking about left backs and right backs, but actually, with the way that we play, they are crucial positions. They've already proven it. So we need players in the right positions for that. But we've got around 190 in the chat. Thank you all for showing your support. Just click that like. And if you've not subscribed to the channel or any of the boys' channels, make sure you do as well. All their channels are in the descriptions of this show. So make sure you show your support. And whilst you're there, give a like and subscribe to Loaded Mag NUFC. Right. We talked about one player, Tino Livramento, and we can kind of merge this together, really, because there is talk of Tino Livramento. I think Jordan Cronin put an article out earlier. I think Daz, you might have said something about it with regards to Tino. He's put an interesting perspective on it that, you know, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold out, Trippier out, Reece James is out. I think he threw Aaron Wan-Bissaka in there, and he ain't touched an England squad before, I don't think. But he's not fit either. So you've got four right backs that maybe would be in consideration. You know, there's a question here of, you know, does Tino deserve, sorry, Daz, to to be called up to the England squad. But that's not just it, because he might not be alone potentially with that, because we've had some news today. Craig Hope has put out a couple of times with regards to Anthony Gordon. First of all, it looks like he's avoided serious injury, thank God, because we're all panicking after that. And that there's a chance, a slight chance, that he could be available for the Man City game. But if England were to come calling, he could well be fit for that, which doesn't suggest it's the 8-9 months that people were suggesting on social media. However, my question to you boys is, does Tino Livramento deserve an England call-up? And the second question is, and I'll come back to this one, has Gordon been the best English left winger in the Premier League this season? And this is a question. These are two questions for all of you. So, does Tino deserve a call-up? And has Gordon been the best English left winger in the Premier League this season? So, I'm going to start with the loaded boys and we'll work our way round. So, Daz, I'll come back to you on these two questions. I know you don't care about England because you're Ireland all the way, but your perspective on them being called up to their national team. Does Tino deserve it? Does Gordon deserve it? And has he been the best performing left winger?
Yep, for me, he deserves a call up. But you're right. I don't care so much about. For him, I want him to get called up to the England squad. But I even said it in our own chat earlier. I said that I hope he does get a call up, but I hope he sits in the bench or comes on for a few minutes and just tick the box. I don't want him getting injured, especially us going over, and then because the next game he would be playing is the West Ham game, the game that we're at. So I want to see him live. Absolutely delighted that he's not gone for 9 months or whatever the story was, and it's looking a bit better that we will see him again this season, let's say, at the very least. For me, he's been quality. I think both of them deserve a call up, but I just worry that we pick up more injuries, because I don't have to say it again. Everyone knows our luck this season.
Is that something you're worried about, Chris, with them potentially getting called up? Like, you know, obviously, do they deserve it first and foremost, both Gordon and Tino? Do they deserve to be in this squad, in this consideration? It's the last sort of squad before the initial squad in the Euros gets picked at the end of the season. Do they both deserve it? And are you worried, actually? It's a good point that Daz has made. Are you worried that there could be an injury there? Is that maybe in the back of your mind slightly?
I'll start with the latter question. So, yeah, it does worry me when players go out on international. I'm still scarred by Michael Owen from all those years ago. So it does worry me. And as you know, Pete, I'm not the biggest England fan in the world. I am very much club over country. So I am a bit selfish when it comes to that. Like, it wouldn't bother me at all if any of our players weren't selected, because I just want to keep them fit, keep them in cotton wool, get them ready for the start of the new season. But as you rightly pointed out before, for the players' career, It's really important, and I'm sure, you know, the players have ambitions of playing for the country. I'm sure if I, you know, was good enough to play football professionally, I'd want to play for my country as well. It's a big accolade, so I do understand. And in that respect, they ability-wise, they both deserve it, because I rate Tino that highly. What I would say is, I think Gareth Southgate would be mental not to consider Tino Livramento. I mean, I can't name, other than Kieran Trippier, I can't name another right-back who's as comfortable at left-back and does a fantastic job for you, who we could pick. To have someone of Tino's flexibility would be invaluable. Not only can he defend, but he can also attack, and he's incredibly quick. And this is the argument that we've been having over the years with, you know, the right-backs, who's better? Is it Kyle Walker? Is it Wan-Bissaka? Is it Trent? Is it Trippier? Like, Tino Livramento, he can do it all. And he gives you those options. And let's be honest, they've got a lot of there's a lot of injuries at the moment to the fullback position. So I think Gareth Southgate would be crazy not to take Tino Livramento. And I think he probably came to the Chelsea match in the main for Anthony Gordon, but he can't have helped but being impressed with Tino Livramento, because he looked a breath of fresh air. And to be honest, he's looked a breath of fresh air in 90-95% of the games that I've seen him play for Newcastle. In terms of deserving Anthony Gordon, a million percent he deserves it. I'd go one further than that, Pete. I'd say Anthony Gordon's probably been the best left wing this season. That's how good I think he's been. David Cook in the chat wrote about Phil Foden, and I agree. Phil Foden, if Phil Foden's the only player who starts ahead of Anthony Gordon, if Phil Foden plays left wing, but as David Cook rightly points out, Phil Foden should be playing in the number 10, really. He's wasted on the wing, Phil Foden, because he can do everything, and we've seen that time and time again this season. But so for me, I think Anthony Gordon deserves his call-up, because he's been fantastic for Newcastle this season. I wouldn't say Tino Livramento deserves it, but is he more than capable? Yes. And I think Southgate needs Tino more than Tino needs England, I'll be honest, because Tino Livramento is going to be some player. And I think he would be great for this England squad.
Definitely. Chris, I have a follow-up question for you, and I'm taking Alan Thompson's question here. I do agree with him on Bowen. He's been class at West Ham. But McNeil at Everton, Chris, your thoughts on when you're comparing him to Anthony Gordon? Who are you having there?
Alan Thompson, man.
like Dwight McNeil. It was funny. I was having an argument with Callum the other day, my lad, who supports Everton. And he was like, Chris, just watch Dwight McNeil. He literally doesn't use his right foot. And I was like, mate, you're preaching to the wrong person here. I watch Miggy Armour on week in, week out. Dwight McNeil does not touch the ball with his right foot at all. And how he got that big move, well, I say big move, how he got the move from Burnley to Everton is beyond me. And like, they've spent 15 million on him. And he's one of those players where you might see him two or three times a season do something and you think, oh, he's going to kick on now. He's a good player. He's not. to answer the question, Daz, if it was a genuine question, Anthony Gordon is light years ahead of Dwight McNeil. Light years.
Yeah. 100%. Who was the other player?
It was Bowen at West Ham.
Bowen's a good player.
Bowen plays on the right. He plays on the right, Bowen does. And it's the same with everyone was kind of comparing Cole Palmer and Anthony Gordon. And it's like, you can't compare them because they play on the opposite wings. Cole Palmer's a right winger. Gordon's a left. Gordon can play right as well, but he's a left. And so, you know, they're in different positions. So you can't really compare them. But, you know, want to get your thoughts, boys, just in general. Josh, Specs, Johnny, Tino Livramento, does he deserve it for you? Is he ready to play for England? And Anthony Gordon, obviously you've had Daz and Chris's opinions on it with regards to Anthony Gordon. In your opinions, is he the best performing left winger in the Premier League? Has this England call-up potentially, we'll find out tomorrow, come too late? Oh, you are kidding me. Oh. We need Everton down. Come on, Luton. Come on. Jesus.
We can buy Dwight McNeil on the cheap, is that right? That's the reason.
Onana, yeah, we can talk, but not by that.
Brave bit.
Josh, what are your thoughts, mate?
Just probably about what Chris said at the end as well. I think, look, first of all, both players have, especially Anthony Gordon, has had a fantastic season. I think if there was ever a little bit of a doubt of why Tino wouldn't for some reason get picked, which I'll mention in just a second, I think it's because Eddie Howe's sort of been prioritising Dan Byrne, and Southgate will probably be saying, well, if he hasn't played that many minutes for club, why would I pick him for country? But it's not about how they've performed for the club. It's when you look at the availability of the country itself. Like what we're speaking about, the best performing English wingers, if you take Anthony Gordon out of context, the majority of them are right wingers. Jarrod Bowen, I think it's 14 goals in the Prem this season. He's been unbelievable. He's went a bit under the radar. Phil Foden, predominantly sort of a 10, right? He's very versatile, but he doesn't, you know, play on the left. He's been unbelievable. Bukayo Saka's even been class. But Anthony Gordon, for me, he has been the best left wing on the Prem this season. Definitely deserves an England call-up. When you look at who would play there, of course, it would be someone like Marcus Rashford, whether he plays striker or left wing for England or whatever setup we're playing in. if we are playing in sort of a 4-3-3, I'm taking Anthony Gordon every single day of the week. And genuinely, I could take this black and white shirt off. It's not got any bias to do with it whatsoever. Going forward, maybe Rashford's got that sort of little bit of clinicalness still left in him that he's got there, that danger towards goal. But defensive capability and work rate, Anthony Gordon, that's not what we see from Marcus Rashford. He's lazy, he looks sort of arrogant on the pitch. You don't get that from Anthony Gordon. So he deserves to be there for me due to the non-availability of England and, of course, what he's done for Newcastle this season. I just hope that injury doesn't really rule him out of it. But on the flip side, Tino Livramento, for me personally, I know he hasn't exactly played every single game for Newcastle. He's not been a world beater, but he's been absolutely phenomenal. Honestly, I love Tino so much. Straight off the bat, obviously, I want him in England. I absolutely love Tino. Getting up the pitch, he's fantastic. And I don't know, I have this weird thing about Tino. Every time I'm watching him, every time he gets into a tackle, sometimes I just look at him and he's getting in a tackle with about two players and somehow he ends up with the ball and he's just bombing down the pitch. I'm like, how's he done that? Like, honestly, Tino is fantastic, right? I think he has been one of the best performers for Newcastle this season. And I think the main reason why he deserves to be there is if you look at the left backs for England, honestly, I think Luke Shaw's injured right now. I can't even think of anyone. Ben Chilwell, he's not even been a favour at Chelsea. Injured.
He's injured.
Yeah. Well, it helps even more there. But the likes of Rico Lewis, I don't know if he's predominantly a more sort of centre-mid or right-back. But honestly, I think Tino deserves to be there every single day of the week. Versatility, we know that Gareth Southgate like to utilise Trippier's left-back position as well. So I think for many reasons, like Chris said as well, Southgate does need Tino for many reasons. Versatility, puts in fantastic performances. If he's doing it for his club, he'll more than want to do it for his country. So for me personally, both players deserve it. Then they'll do it for club and country 110%.
Definitely. Specs, Johnny, are you sort of in agreement with these boys? Because I've got a different question that I wanted to come to you. Like, so are you both kind of in the camp that Tino and Gordon should be kind of in the England squad?
Okay. Yeah, Gordon, for me, he's proved a lot of people wrong. Even some of our fans, to be honest, from last season. He's put the hard work in, and all season, he's been one of our main top players, assist, getting goals. So for me, 100%, it's not about easy within a shout. He should be called up for that England squad, for me, period. And quickly on to Tino, in terms of how many games he's played, maybe not necessarily to be picked, but there's a lot of players out, and just on Tino's ability alone, anytime he gets called up to come into the team, whether it's for 5 minutes, 90 minutes, left back, right back, he's always putting a proper performance. So just that alone, that should be enough to say, you know what, he's definitely been a shout for the England squad, 100%.
Johnny?
I pretty much echo what most of the lads have been saying. I think Gordon, as a out-and-out left winger, stats-wise, yeah, he's been brilliant this season and possibly the top player in that position. But if Phil Foden is considered to that in England in terms of Gareth Southgate's thinking to be playing on the left, I agree. I think he should be in the centre. But if he does play on the left, you can't not put Phil Foden in that team. And it kills me a little bit saying that because I really, really like Anthony Gordon. Patino and England, Gareth Southgate came to watch Anthony Gordon play and ended up picking up a right back at the end of it. You know, I don't think he was really thinking about Tino too much. I think Steve Holland would have probably known who Tino wasn't when he was at Chelsea for many years. I agree with Chris. I think Tino's needed for England more than England. I think Tino's needed for England and Southgate more than Southgate in terms of what he wants from Tino. I really do. I think it's a really interesting one. But you look at the options that we've got as an Englishman and like wanting England to do well. Tino deserves an opportunity. He really, really does. He doesn't start as right back because you've got Kyle Walker, but who says he can't do a job at left back? There's no reason why he shouldn't be given, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Maybe if it's not the Brazil game, I think it's Belgium that they've got a few days later. But I think we can all agree that Tino Livramento and Anthony Gordon make the Ireland squad, don't they, Daz?
Any sport, Johnny, at this stage.
I wish players like that. Oh, God. Declan Rice, Jack Grealish. So,
what a team we would have.
There you go, throw them in there. But we have to do a massive thanks. We're going to come to a couple of super chats anyway. But huge thank you to Dominic for a massive super chat there. And put a question in, Dominic.
Thank you, Dominic.
Answer the question, but massive support as always. Thank you so much for your super chat for the channel. We really do appreciate it, mate. Thank you. Quality stuff there from Dominic. The other question I've got for you boys before we come to some questions from the chat is this. And look, we have a super striker. We have an ice cold killer, is what I like to call him. Alexander Isak scored a superb goal against Chelsea. Had no right to score the type of goal that he did. And he is getting a lot of attention from the media. A lot of other clubs are starting to share their opinions on Alexander Isak. So I've got a question for you boys. And Johnny, I work from you back around the group with this. And the question is this. Would you give Isak a new contract in the summer to secure his future, but it has a release clause? Would you accept that to secure his future at Newcastle United?
Short answer is yes. It is yes. I think you have to. But again, a bit like Bruno, it benefits the club as well. Now, we don't know. I'm not a genius in how PSR works and how the new rules are going to change that. But you've got to tie him down. You've got to give him, if he wants more money, you give him more money. And you've got to put that release clause in there to cover the club. But what clubs are doing at this moment in time in terms of the big, big clubs, if they want a player, in spending big money, it's just one player. It's not like two or three. You've seen in the years with Real Madrid, they could buy two or three Galacticos. It's just one now. It's just one. So if you put Isak on, say, £100 million release clause or whatever you want to put as a release clause, one club is going to have to go, right, Alexander Isak, you're the one that we want. But at least the club's covered. The club is covered. And that's exactly the same with Bruno. So yes, I would. I think he can be world-class. I don't think he's quite there yet. But his stats are phenomenal for Newcastle. He's 1-2 in the Premier League. I love Alexander Isak. I think he's such a breath of fresh air for what we've seen as a number nine. Because he is a number nine. Let's be honest, he puts the ball in the back of the net. And that's what number nines do for Newcastle. So, yeah, for me, it's a no-brainer. Try and get him signed up to a new deal. And, yeah, put that release clause in just to cover the club.
Specs, you going for that deal, signing him up? David Cook's put in there, it's a valid point. His contract's till 2028 anyway. But you know, with players, it's the same with Bruno. You know, do you give him more money to secure him as a top earner at the club to ensure that he's paid for the role and responsibility that he's got as the main man? But do you add that release clause in there for the points that Johnny made? What are your thoughts about that?
Look, man, you ain't got to ask me twice, bro. Let's keep it real. Read you that contract today. I don't care if it sounds mad. Put £142 million minimum release clause in that contract. Because, look, man, people who know me and know me well, before I was doing this thing, I was screaming out for Isak from long time when no one was even hardly talking about him. You know, some people are just so indulged in the Premier League. They don't really look out of the Premier League. I'm one of those guys that like to look out of the Premier League. And to be honest, when I first saw Isak, I thought it was great, but I didn't know he would be this and be this so soon. Do you get what I'm saying? As Jonathan alluded to, 1-2 in every game. Do you get what I'm saying? Imagine a fully fit Isak for a whole season. Just one whole season. He'll be up there with the likes of Haaland and all that. I really believe that, regardless where Newcastle are in the league. So sort it out. Don't care if his contract is 2028. Got to sort it out because there's going to be problems. People are coming in the summer. I guarantee you there's a team that's going to be coming in for him. And not just abroad. I'm talking about in England. Don't ever get it twisted. So they can sort that out, give him what he wants, and just keep hold of him, man, because we've got a good one on our hands and we should be, like, blessed. We're blessed, trust me, to have the likes of Alexander Isak in our club. 100%.
Josh, are you in agreement with the boys? Are you worried about having a release clause? Because you know then teams are, they know that they've got a price that they can meet to potentially get him out of the club. Whereas if he's not got a release clause, then it's up to the club to decide what his value is. Is that a concern for you, or are you in agreement with the boys that 100% he needs to be tied down?
I think realistically, at this moment in time with all that FFP stuff, honestly, I'm sick of going on about that now. But you know the situation. With the FFP sort of dilemma that we've got going on now, if his contract was running out this year, I know it goes out in 2028, but I'll not be boring. Imagine it's going out this year. We'll have to either get him a new contract or put a release clause on. I am putting that release clause on. It benefits us in every single way. It's not like someone the next day is going to go out and buy him. Do you know what I mean? And the price of that release clause has got to be a fair bit of money for me. I'm not even talking £100 million. We've seen the likes of Chelsea who just splash £100 million, even transfers. I know this is very specific, but the transfers for the likes of Luka Jovic, I can't remember the team he played for. I think it might have been Frankfurt or something. He went to Real Madrid for nearly, I think it was €80 million or something. He barely done anything before that. We've seen with like Dusan Vlahovic. He was really good at Fiorentina, but didn't prove that much. We've seen Alexander Isak in this team now, and I'm not trying to hack the lads down, but this lad has scored 16 goals in his last 29 games, getting service off the likes of Longstaff, Jacob Murphy and Miggy Almiron. This guy's plucking goals out of thin air. He's clinical. He's just such a fantastic footballer. As much as it would pain us to see him go, it would benefit us in every single way. We can replace him, but the money would have to be right. And that's why it is a release clause. It's not like any club can. It's not like if his transfer value is, for example, £80 million right now. It's not like we're going to put an £80 million one on right now. We're going to have to make sure that the club is sort of backed by that money if we do lose Isak, because he is honestly one of a kind. And I don't know if people can take this the right way, but I feel like this moment in time of where we are exactly right now, I feel like in this takeover process, in the two-year period that we're in, I feel like we've almost kind of got the Isaks and the Brunos a little bit too early, where the rest of the squad is so like unequal towards them, if you know, like on par with their ability, and there's other teams looking in on them and we could maybe lose them. But to ultimately answer your question, yes, I would make them sign a new contract and put a release clause on. I think we'd just be safe in every way possible. It's not like we're going to lose them the next day, and we would be financially backed as well.
Chris, if you were to put a price on his release clause, how much do you think it would be valued at, in your opinion?
Funnily enough, you asked me this question about Bruno the other day, didn't you? And I think with Isak, and we haven't spoke about this for a while, I think with Isak, obviously we brought him in for around £63 million. I'm sorry, but there is a premium on strikers. Goal scorers are few and far between. I'd be disappointed if he left Newcastle. I'd be disappointed if he left Newcastle for less than 130. I'd be disappointed. I think it's got to be around that. Now, that sounds astronomical. I appreciate that. But we're talking about a lad who's, what, 24? He's only going to get better. He's proved himself in La Liga. He's now proved himself in the Premier League, arguably the toughest league in world football. He's a great age. I honestly, that is the kind of figure that I'd ask for, because if you're signing someone for £63 million, you can't then sell them on for like £80-90 million. It's just not, you just wouldn't do that, because we're not going to get a good enough replacement for Alexander Isak for that kind of money. It would have to be silly money. I think it would be around £130 million. That's probably what I'd price him at. Mm-hmm.
130 million, Daz? Is that what you'd go for? Were you higher or lower?
Higher. $1 billion. I do what Barcelona do. He's not going to agree to that in the contract, but they said some absolutely ridiculous release clauses, like Pedri and the likes. But it's just, no. I would sign him up. I increase his wages. Just to guarantee things, but there's no rush either. There's no let him come to us when he's of that mind as well. But yeah, realistic, I'm going to say the same as I said for Bruno, not accepting anything less than 150 from, and as Chris alluded to as well, he is a great age, as Eddie would say himself.
He's a great age.
Agree, Eddie?
We agree.
Sorry, I agree with you. Like, it's not, and even with Daz, and it's not astronomical. Like, 142 mil, even 150 mil.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. That's real. That's real. Because, as you said yourself, these days there's not many strikers out there like that. Or number nines and his age, and he's not a man that can just play as number nine. He can play on the left. He can play in the bloody right. He can play bloody anywhere. It's very rare to find. So it's not like, don't cut yourself short, bro. 132 mil or whatever. Like, that's too cheap. 142, 150. Yeah. Why not, bro?
Imagine the amount of Sean Longstaffs we could buy for that, because we could buy seven according to FMO GB.
I don't want seven Sean Longstaffs. I'll say that now.
I want 17. So I'll tell you that I could do with 17 right now. I'll tell you that.
You know what? I don't think there's anything separating Isak and a player like Victor Osimhen. I don't. And if you think Napoli are looking at 120, 130 million for him, I don't think what you boys are saying is astronomical. I think that's more than reasonable for what he's doing. And let's not forget, boys, Alexander Isak's doing that in the Premier League, in the best league in the world. Osimhen hasn't come to the Premier League yet. Arguably, he's coming to Chelsea in the summer. Who knows? He might flop. He might not be able to handle or do the business in the Premier League like other strikers have done. Alexander Isak's come over from Real Sociedad, come over to Newcastle, and has hit the ground running, despite injuries, still putting the ball in the net. There's no reason why 130 million isn't reasonable. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with that, 110%. But just one last question on here. And it kind of links into our other Super Chat, actually. And the question I've got is, obviously, since that defeat and before that, to be fair, but it's rumbled along again. Is the criticism of how justified, and I think the Super Chat is on there as well.
Yeah.
From David Knight. Thank you, David, for your £5 Super Chat. But I hate when people say, Eddie is a young manager. He's not a young manager. His playing career was cut short and he's managed hundreds of games. And he says, improve Eddie Howe. Do you agree with what David said? And do you think that the criticism of Howe is justified? I'll come back to you, Johnny. What do you think about that? And what do you make of all the talk of Eddie Howe and the criticisms that have been put his way?
I think that last word, if you like, improve Eddie Howe, or the last little bit from what David said is spot on. He needs to improve, and particularly that the midfield and defence, the gap is too big. We've been saying this week in, week out, when this problem was identified, we need to stop that. We need to think of what the players that we've got, how can we incorporate where that does not happen on a regular basis. Every manager in the Premier League is going to face criticism. It's going to face hard times. You okay, Pete? Is it 4-3 Bournemouth by any chance?
Yeah.
I was going to say Collymore. I was going to say Collymore closing in, but
a bit too
deep, wasn't it? So we'll say Solanke closing in, maybe. Who knows?
I'm hanging my head. I'm devastated. That's where I am right now. If you know, you know.
And on that note, talking about Bournemouth, Eddie Howe, the former Bournemouth manager. See, this is what we do. Let's be honest. We need to see improvements defensively. Let's be honest. Then going forward, we're so exciting to watch it, especially at home. Away from home, Monday night was a bit tough at times going forward, but Isak did a bit of magic, and Jacob Murphy did a bit of magic. Who would have thought? But we need to see Plan B, because Plan A, and you know, trying Plan A to the full nth degree just hasn't really worked. What's your Plan B, Eddie Howe? what you're going to do on Saturday against Man City, where defensively we look a bit more stable and we look like we've got a little bit about ourselves. Do we go five at the back? Do we play Jamal ourselves? What do we do? What is the plan and how do we stop that gap between the forwards and the midfield? Because Kevin De Bruyne has got a fantastic goal for Man City against Newcastle by being in that position. And they've got players that can find Alex Alvarez as your Foden. You know, it's going to be interesting. And be for Good Friday. if it's the football game, no. If it's the night out after, maybe. to be confirmed. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Eddie Howe anyway.
What are your thoughts, Specs, Eddie Howe? Tell us how you're feeling, based on all the social media interactions, what people are saying. What are your own thoughts on Eddie Howe, mate?
Look, I've been a big defender of Eddie Howe even before he came to Newcastle. Like, he's just, I admire the guy, you get me? Like, how he started and et cetera and et cetera. And as the weeks are going by, it's starting to get, the pressure on my shoulders is getting worse and worse. When I'm doing watch-alongs, it's almost like I'm going to start losing supporters, brother of mine, because they're just getting upset with me every week. So what are you saying, Specs? Eddie Howe out now? And I'm like, nah, to get upset. See, what I'm saying is, Eddie Howe, you're frustrating me. I'm not going to lie. Like, all human, innit? I'm not going to just, like, defend him and not have nothing to say. Like, I'm seeing what you guys are seeing. Jonathan alludes to, and many people say, oh, we need to see a plan B. The reality is, and the sadness, and it hurts for me to say, Eddie Howe ain't got no plan B. So we need to start accepting that. He hasn't got a plan B. I promise you, he hasn't. That's why you see the same thing week in, week out. And that's why it's scary to see how long this will last for. Because he's not stupid. He can't be inept to not understand what he's doing ain't working. And you're doing the same decisions, putting the same players. You're not taking off players when they're supposed to take players off. It's almost like he's losing himself a bit. So it's like him and his coaching staff, they ain't got a clue. They're starting to go to that. Like, damn, I have no ideas. But it's for them to sit down and work out an idea. Like Jonathan said, you know, like the whole with the gap between the midfield and defence. And I think people are getting mad frustrated because they're seeing the exact same thing week in and week out. And for me, I've always had the spirit that one day Eddie Howe could, and that might sound crazy now, but I used to believe that in time, the time's running out, that he may become an elite manager. But what's going to stop Eddie Howe being an elite manager is he hasn't got the balls, bruv. He hasn't got that nous to make those big decisions. I don't care if you're my favourite. I don't care if you're my friend. Longstaff, it's halftime. You are playing absolutely dross. I want you to sit down and take a good look at yourself and bring them. I say, Miley, you come on and show me why I should start you. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but I doubt he's doing that. We've seen the same decisions. But to be an elite manager, bruv, it's not about having friends and loyalty and favourites. It's now the time when he's going through adversity to start making those big decisions. And that's what the other Bournemouth fans used to talk about beforehand. And I think now we're starting to see it. But I'm not Eddie Howe out yet, though. But it needs to be questioned.
talking facts. Josh, Eddie Howe, talk to us. Where are you at with him at this moment in time?
Well, I'm just going to say, first of all, for anyone who doesn't know who I am, before I get my head taken off, I love Eddie Howe, blah, 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 don't want him gone, I'm Eddie Howe in. No, but seriously, honestly, I said it before in the video, like, I really, really do not want anyone other than Eddie Howe at this moment in time at the club. I know it's not everyone's favourite, but I love how he's so discreet in the media, how he treats the players like not only is the, like, the football manager, but he wants to know what's going on in the personal lives and all that sort of stuff. I love Eddie Howe for many, many reasons. But recently, there's many things what's getting on my nerves so, so much. There's a few which isn't, but the ones which is getting on my nerves recently is them sort of favourites, which I picked on before. And Spec said it as well. I don't think he's got it about him. Just go in there and say, right, look, Sean, you're not playing good enough. There's a 17-year-old kid who's eager to play Premier League football, who's been putting in 10 times the performances you have. 17-year-old kid who looks genuinely more capable of putting in
like you.
Physical challenges from going forwards and backwards. I think he's genuinely just more capable of playing for Newcastle United. He's been putting in better performances, full stop. I even think Lewis Hall at this moment in time deserves a shot at centre mid than Sean Longstaff, because he's just been performing woeful lately. But anyhow, hasn't had, like Speck said, the balls to just say you're not playing, simple as, you have to be dropped. And there's another thing which is concerning. It's that plan B, what everyone's talking about. And I know some people sort of have a different concept of what plan B means. Now, for me, plan B is like, if we're failing, if we're struggling, if we go behind in a game, what can we do to switch that round? We need something to sort of get around the game. And I can't remember the last time. I thought it was Forest away the last time we come back from a losing position, but was it not Southampton at home in the Premier League? I can't exactly remember, but honestly, it's not even a no plan B. But when we go from a losing position to come back into the game, sometimes I just feel from Newcastle, not only is there not a tactical sort of switch, but there's not that fight or ambition to go from it. But I do think in certain things, Eddie Howe is justified to get this sort of criticism, because he's not learning from his mistakes, which I know, like, coming off this, you're thinking, well, how on earth is a 17-year-old kid telling Eddie Howe what to do? It seems like he's managed teams in the Premier League. How do you know what's going on about? But it just looks so obvious to us, to the eye, that why do you do these sort of things? Like, you make the wrong substitutions at the wrong times, which I hate to go in and I'm like this, by the way. You start in the wrong players. And another thing on substitutes, actually, which I don't like what Eddie Howe's doing, for example, Luton at home, we go 2 goals down. Dan Byrne arguably makes 2, certainly 1 mistake to make us concede the last 2 goals that Luton scored. And then he subs Tino on in a losing position, which he's done a fair few times, and I don't like that whatsoever. If you are going to trust Tino to come into the game and impact it to win the game, why did you not start him? Do you know what I mean? And not only that, but you're putting a 21-year-old kid on for the 30-year-old experienced lad. You should be, like, nurturing the 21-year-old, you know what I mean? Not chucking him in on the deep end. Look, Tino, go in and get us that win. You're the man for it. If you're trusting him that much, you should be starting him. Do you know what I mean? I think there is a little bit of a lack of, like, I don't know how to describe it. There's a lack of, I don't want to say leadership, because he's done so well, but he's got that sort of lack of that boisterous voice, if you know what I mean. He's not the loud voice, go in there, do this, do that, let's go out and win. Honestly, I don't know. But some of the things that he's been getting criticised for, substitutions, no plan B, and starting 11s recently, I do think is definitely justified.
I'm sorry, just last thing, and that kind of continues what Josh is saying. Just to cut it in a nutshell, with Eddie, what I've seen to notice a lot is he's not, like, he's reactive. He's not proactive. And that's a big problem for me, to keep it simple. That's the last thing I'm going to say in it. But we love Eddie. He's done what he's done. Don't want to be too harsh, but reality is reality. And in the now, this is where he needs to start. What else are you made of? You get what I'm saying? When things are not going great.
There's an interesting comment in the chat. I think we've starred it.
This one, yes.
Jason Brown.
Jason, yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting. I think, Chris, you've responded to him as well. And you know what, boys? We talked about this yesterday. And I think I mentioned about him being stubborn. And he is. And it's starting to annoy me, because he's persisting with things when he doesn't need to. There is no reason why he should have set. There's no reason why he couldn't have set up in exactly the same way that he did against Wolves. Sit back, sit deep, counter attack. We'd have put Chelsea to the sword on Monday. And this is why I'm so frustrated with that result. Is because it just seems like the stubbornness is taking over. And again, we've talked about his ability not to change the tactics. But I think what Jason's put is a really, really good point. Really, really good point.
Can I just add something to that, Pete?
Go for it.
Sure. I think another reason why we actually didn't perform at Stamford Bridge, and I've been noticing this a while recently, I know with the odd exception of, like, Old Trafford and Villa Park, I know they're not exactly a prestige stadium, but I feel like when we go to these sort of, like, historically great stadiums, I know Stamford Bridge obviously isn't like a massive one like in Old Trafford, but I feel like when we go to what is sort of renowned as a hard place, kind of just fall under the occasion. Like, we had no fight in that game, and I know I'm going on about it like a while ago now, but they, like, Wembley, every time we've went to the Etihad, we've not been that great, even against Man City when we got beat 1-0. I can't remember the performance exactly, but it just looked like it's Man City, away, just give it up, we're not going to win anyways. I don't think we're actually going to these games and give it to them, which, that Chelsea game, I don't think I'll get over that for a long time, because it was such an important one and they were there for the take, and they are absolutely, I don't want to say absolutely crap, because they beat, well, and someone said it in the chat before, it's not a case of, like, Chelsea beating us, it feels like we lost to Chelsea. We kind of just threw that game and, oh, we had it by the scruff of the neck, man. I am still really, really annoyed by that.
Yep, that's true. And so quickly, our waveform, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, our waveform this season, we are joint bottom with Sheffield United. Let that sink in. When it comes to conceding goals, let that sink in.
David has come back with another comment as well, and cheers again for the donation, David. And Eddie Howe, not just stubborn, but gaslights us as well. That's just the media, and that's just the journalists and in the pressers. Jordan and Dom and then the crew there, yeah. We enjoy a bit of that. Boys, let's go to the questions, and let's have a few quick fire questions. I want to go to this one now. It's directed to you, Chris, but I think everyone can answer this. Who were the Everton targets that Steve Nixon was watching at the weekend, Chris? And I know someone pointed out it could have been Godfrey, but what's your thoughts there, Chris?
Well, I hope it was Jared Branthwaite, although I doubt it probably was. I think most likely it's probably Andre Onana, isn't it? I think. Amadou Onana, should I say. It's probably Amadou Onana. But hey, it could be Ben Godfrey. Who knows? And there was another star comment about Ben Godfrey. Have you just put it up there, yes. Daz?
Foxy, yeah.
The England one?
Yes.
Yeah. The answer, Foxy, would be no, because Ben Godfrey isn't a right-back. Yeah, Everton keep playing him at right-back. If he played him centre-back, might see a better Ben Godfrey. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Interesting. I think he was there to watch both. I think if Newcastle could get both Branthwaite and Onana, I think they would. I think they'd
imagine both. Imagine.
Genuinely, I think. The issue they've got is that from what I'm seeing from people that I follow at Man United, they want him. They're going all out to get Branthwaite. And I think Man United will pay what Everton want. Everton will pull a stupid number out. They'll say something like 75 million and Man United go, okay, and they'll just go and pay it. Whereas Newcastle will probably be more, they don't want to get into a bidding war. They don't want to get into that and this is the thing to look out for the summer. I don't think Newcastle will get into a bidding war with any player. If there's a number of teams interested in them, they'll walk away unless they get in there first.
Just to add into what you've just said, you know, when you said they're going to pull out a silly figure, I was thinking, oh, he's going to go mad now. And when you said 75 million, genuinely, I know more than a handful of Everton fans who are all expecting to get close to, if not over, 100 million for Jared Branthwaite. Honestly, I've told them, I've said it'll be about 60 million. And then I said to them, what if you get relegated? How much then? And they went, oh, if we get relegated, maybe 70, 80 million. They reckon they're getting big money. And you know, when I've watched him, he's good. He's very, very good. And they're throwing in the, you know, the Harry Maguire argument and stuff like that. You know, obviously Man United paid a lot of money for Harry Maguire. But yeah, they're convinced. For me, I agree with you. I think 75 is what they'd want. And it'll probably be just under that. Maybe I said between 60, 70 million, I think they'll get for them. But yeah, they reckon 100 mil upwards. And when the Real Madrid rumours come out, they all started getting silly excited then.
Do Everton fans not realise that their club's absolutely financially ruined? Like, seriously? Does that not, like, go in their head and go through 1 year going, well, actually, why don't we wait for Real Madrid to make 140 million offer? That's never going to happen. Just... like, he's not worth 75 million quid, let's be brutally honest. However, in today's market, which is absolutely bonkers, he's probably worth that in that market. But it is stupid money. I don't think Nixon was there to watch Branthwaite. I think he'd love to have Branthwaite at Newcastle. I just don't think we're in that sort of conversation, if I'm honest. I just don't think we're going to go out and spend that sort of money on a centre-half. I could be proved wrong, but I'd be surprised. I think he's there for Onana. I think Onana's the name that's been mentioned. They like him. They think he could do a job in midfield. They think they can offer him something different. He's physical. He's a big lad. He's good on the ball. You know, I'd like to think that he could be a difference. But again, it depends on Everton, really, because Everton could go, well, how much desperately do we need money? Because they don't even know who their owners are going to be. Like 777's been muted for ages, but they've never really been.
Yeah.
It's never really been. I don't know if it's coming to completion. The Premier League have got a bit of. I've got some issues with that deal potentially going through, and that's going to be the big issue. The one thing I can guarantee, though, is Jordan Pickford wasn't being looked at.
Good.
Yeah. That 777, they've not been paying their wages at the other clubs that they're involved in.
Let them buy Everton.
They're in an absolute mess. Like, honestly, it seems like if they take over Everton, it won't be long before Everton are looking for a new ownership, because it looks like that they're just going through the mill at the moment. And look, if it means Everton going to, you know, administration and they get points deductions and they go down, sorry to the whole family. Sorry in advance, but hey. I'm not going to argue. That's for sure. But Onana looks like. Go for it.
I was just going to say, mate, just to add in as well, Jarrod Branthwaite's a left-sided centre-back, and we all know that we've already got a very capable left-sided centre-back, even though he's not playing very well. So for us to buy another one would be a bit, especially for that kind of money, would be a bit over the top. I think the next big signing would be a right centre-back, certainly for the defence, right centre-back or a left-back.
He did play right centre-back at... Is it PSV he was on loan now?
PSV he was on loan. Yeah, he can. He's comfortable with both feet. He really is. Yeah. And to be fair, same as Botman. Botman can play right centre-back as well. But we know Eddie Howe likes to balance the centre-backs. So he would predominantly want a right-footed right centre-back. And Jarrod Branthwaite could do that job. But nah, I don't think we'll get him.
If it's Man United that are going for him, one question. Show us the money. Pay up for Dan Ashford first, as you put in the chat earlier, Chris. Last week, let's get through a few more questions. We had Adam P in the chat earlier as well. Nice one, Adam. We did cover that topic. We didn't actually bring this up, but we got to it. I think Adam could be running a marathon tomorrow. So best of luck with that, Adam. Next question, guys. It comes from Toon Gamer. Question. Who do you think is responsible for decisions of leaving injured players on the pitch? Player? Manager? Medical team, all of them.
Great question.
Open house. Who would like to go first here?
I'd just add in, and I know we spoke about it very briefly on the reaction show. I would have said Eddie Howe, but obviously he would take advice from his medical team. But then saying that, when the medical team are coming on the pitch and making the players' injuries worse, I now start to question the medical team, because when that medical member come on and extended Anthony Gordon's leg and he jumped about 3 foot in the air, it wasn't a great look, was it? So that was all I wanted to say on that. I mean, I think it's a combination, but it's a good question from Toon Gamer.
Sorry, Lisa. Sorry, my bad. Didn't mean to upset you.
She's coming for your feet.
Oh, I'll buy you a drink in a couple of weeks.
I think no player wants to come off injured unless they are that injured. Let's be honest. I don't think they're going to come off at all. But you pay medical people to make these sort of decisions, to go, look, this is all your information. If it was me, if you leave him on any further, this is the situation. And that's where it comes to the manager. The medical team, it's a bit like somebody that works in a bank, for example. They can't give out advice, but they can throw all the information to the person that has to ultimately make that decision. And I think for Eddie Howe, if he's given all that information, if he gets that decision wrong, A, it hurts the player. B, it hurts the club. C, it hurts him. So these are the big decisions that Eddie Howe has to make, and that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, I agree with that part as well. For me, who knows what goes on behind the scenes? Like, let's keep it real, innit? the way it looks, I think it's a combination of all three. As Chris said at the end, what he was saying, it could be a combination of all three players, medical, management. I would like to think, especially in this day and age, you take all the advice from the medical staff. They should be the ones with the last word to say, yo, you don't want to play him any longer, you know, or nah, he's not ready yet. And they should have the final say. Yes, the player, they're humans, they feel how they feel, but the medical team is a medical team. They're paid to do the medical side. So you'd think, in reality, they have the final say, and it should be left to them, ultimately, in my opinion.
That drink is getting bigger, Pete, that you have to buy Lisa for today.
You make it worse, guys. Stop. Stop it.
In a vase.
Right. Let's move on, guys, because there's a few good comments as well I want to get to. One from Claire. She's pointing out that, has anyone else noticed that the NUFC wall calendar is predicting squad injuries? Wilson in January, Isak in February, Trippier in March, Botman is in April. So don't be saying that, Claire. Also, one from Sam. He goes, can't wait for the charity game to raise vital funds for Johnny's hair transplant. It's bad when your own team are picking on you, Johnny. So you know what? You can still join loaded.
Got the mind games going, y'all. I've got the mind games going.
Do you know what it is? That's actually the nicest thing that Sam Munn has ever said to me. I have to be brutally honest. But we actually get to see Sam Munn run. Like, I mean, run. He's going to try and actually run 5 yards, maybe even stretch him to 10 yards. And that's the first bit of running that he's probably done since he's 20. Then he's probably 20 years ago. Let's put that into context. If I was honest, we tried to get Sam's son to play Charlie, but he wasn't available, so Sam had to do. But if we do get enough funds that I can go to Turkey and get this hair sorted out, more than happy. Saves me saving money for it. That's all.
I'll come with you, Johnny.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got your picture behind you. You're okay.
I'll save your seat on the flight, Chris.
Good man. Good man.
Hey, Josh, all is not well in the camp. What do we say to you? All is not well.
I'm ready, boys. I'm ready.
Shout out to Mark Taylor as well, who points out an Arsenal fan is Mark, and he says, you have the worst injury list in the league. And cheers to donation, Mark, as well.
Yeah,
we that's more or less that's the questions. I have about 3 or 4 questions I'll group together just as we're going to play out, and I'll answer that with one word. With two words, leaving that to the end. But I think that all we have to say is thanks to the lads, thanks to Johnny, thanks to Specs, and thanks to Josh for joining us. Great to have you guys back, and a great show. And thanks to everyone in the chat as well for listening to us. Also, actually, must give a shout out to our sponsors. Give a shout out to the RadiatorShed.com and the fabulous radiators that are available via Russ there. New pictures coming soon. We've been talking about them for ages. Obviously, put the lads in jail. But yes, and also shout out to H2O Bathroom Design Co. and the fabulous bathrooms that the lads have there. So check out that. Check out the website. Check out the showrooms for the latest and greatest. Anthony, is there anything else to say, lads, before we run off the show?
Great chat, boys. Great chat as always. Obviously, always topical with Newcastle United. There's always something new to talk about, but your boys' opinions, it makes for a great chat, and it makes for a great panel. So thank you for joining us, everyone in the chat. Superb questions, as ever. Apologies if we didn't get through them all, but the conversation is always turning, which it makes it a good one. And follow all these boys' socials. Make sure we get onto these socials, their channels. They're all in the description. Go and give them a follow. Give them a sub. Do what you need to do and support the team.
100%.
Nice one. So I'm going to take 3 questions and answer one. The question here from Toon Gamer. How many of the current squad would you keep if you were in charge? Question from Jimmy Watts. Question, how many players do you think we need in the summer? What positions? A question from Alan Thompson. which position is priority? Would you want to be improved in the summer? And to answer that, guys, there's just one little video to play to see us out for the night. And this show will be landing Monday, Tuesday next week. You can decide that. But thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks to the lads. See you in the next one.
GPS. No.